This is Rediscover Life for Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. I'm so glad you're able to join me again today here in UCB Ireland. And what a wonderful ministry this is, that on a daily basis you can tune in to the Word of God. And so I'd encourage you to pray for UCB Ireland, and if you haven't done so already, become a monthly supporter, because it truly is a wonderful work. Along with the Word for Today, they're getting the Word out through the Word for Today and also through the airwaves. You know, I get encouraging messages from people, you know, whether by email or many times when I'm speaking in different parts of the country and even abroad, people that are tuning in on UCB Ireland. And I find that tremendously encouraging, to think that, you know, that people all around the nation and even the nations and even in the United Kingdom, that people are being encouraged. What a wonderful ministry UCB truly is. And so I'd encourage you to pray for UCB and stand with them financially in Jesus' name. So we've been dealing with Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And so He must be Lord of our appetites. You know what? Sometimes it's good to just say no to your flesh. You know, one piece of the cake is enough. You don't need to eat the whole thing. Amen. And Lord of our emotions. There are times when you're just going to feel down. There's going to be times when you'll be tempted to feel discouraged. But you know what? We must learn to deal with our emotions. And the third area we dealt with yesterday was dealing with our thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 to 9 talks about, seek the Lord while He may be found, call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. The King James, let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And so it's interesting, the Bible characterizes the unrighteous man by recognizing that the root of his unrighteousness is his unrighteous thoughts. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous man their thoughts. And so what makes the unrighteous man unrighteous is unrighteous thoughts. And so unless we deal with the thoughts, we'll never learn to overcome the acts. Things won't change in your life until you think differently. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And so the Bible is the only thing that has power to change the way you think. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. In the Greek, that is the word metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis, where an ugly hairy caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. And this is the change that you will see manifested in your life when you learn to deal with your thoughts. The Bible is key to changing the way we think. So renew your mind with the Word of God. That's why I would encourage you, read the Word of God on a daily basis. Feed in it, learn from it, and just learn to study. Study to shew thyself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So we renew our mind with God's Word, because the Bible has the power to change the way we think. And we dealt yesterday with Mark chapter 5, the story of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, whose daughter was on the point of death. And I didn't finish it, but I dealt with verse 36 in the Amplified, overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. So that's absolutely key, is learning to control fear, learning to control our thoughts, learning to control the negativity, casting down those negative thoughts in Jesus' name. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James and John, the brother of James, because Jesus didn't want to be surrounded with unbelief. I believe these men had maybe a greater measure of faith than some of the others. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and sleep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, I mean, just looking at this in the natural, the child was dead. The child wasn't sleeping, but Jesus refused to acknowledge death. Jesus did not acknowledge the power of death, because he had power even over death itself. And they ridiculed him. And I think it's interesting that how quickly these people went from wailing and mourning to mocking and ridiculing. It kind of makes you wonder about, you know, whether their grief was genuine or whether it was all just a big show. Anyway, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was. I think it's interesting, the first part of the verse says, but when he had put them all outside. So you know what, Jesus dealt with this. And what you could say is that in some ways, these were people who were, again, the question is whether their grief was genuine, but certainly they were all worked up emotionally. And so he just put them out, because we have to learn to deal with the emotions. And what Jesus did in this situation is he just put it outside. He put them outside with their big show of emotions. He took the father and the mother of the child and the three disciples. They entered in when the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. What a wonderful testimony of God's resurrection power. You know, for these broken-hearted parents, I'm sure that this father and mother, all of their dreams had died in the moment when their child stopped breathing. It truly must be one of the hardest things for any person to ever experience in life, is to lose a child. And here Jesus comes and turns it all around. He just turns it around and raises this child from the dead. But I believe key to that is learning to deal with the thoughts. What did Jesus say to the ruler of the synagogue? Do not be afraid, only believe. And I would encourage you today, you know, if you're struggling with negative thoughts or a negative situation, just cast down those negative thoughts and bring that situation to the Lord in prayer. Because he loves you, he knows you, he understands you. And you know what? Change is coming in Jesus' name. Be encouraged. And the fourth area, if Christ is to be Lord of all, is our priorities. I think this is very, very key. Because Jesus is not Lord of all if he's not Lord of your priorities. In many instances, as a pastor, I see believers who on one level love God, but you know what? He's not number one in their priorities. This is, I think, something we need to understand. Historically, we've been celebrating the birth of Christ on the 25th of December since the year 336 AD, since the reign of the first Christian Roman Emperor Constantine. And so why do we celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th? Well, there's an early Christian tradition that said the Annunciation of the birth of Christ to Mary was March 25th. So 9 months on from this is December 25th. So what is this to do with priorities? Well, if Christmas Day is the day we celebrate the birth of Christ, why are church services so poorly attended in many instances? Because whether it's the correct date of Christ's birth or not is irrelevant. It's the date we've observed for almost 1700 years. And it was interesting, even this year, there was a New York Times article criticizing churches for closing on Christmas Day. And, you know, this is a secular newspaper and certainly no bastion of conservative thought. And yet they had this article to criticize churches because they close on the day we're meant to be celebrating the birth of Christ. And in my opinion, it's a reflection of our need to rearrange our priorities, because the world sees through our facade. We say we have a life-changing message, but we stay in bed like the rest of the world on the day that public marks the birth of the Messiah. And so to me, that's a paradox. It's a contradiction. And it's something that we really need to look at. To be honest, this attitude of prioritizing comfort and convenience over Christ is one reason why the world doesn't take us seriously. Because in this New York Times article, even the world is rebuking us because we're not acting any differently to them on this day. So, you know, when we're choosing, pajamas and bed over gathering to worship on the day that celebrates the birth of Christ, you know, it's an indication that we need to rearrange our priorities. Ultimately, I appreciate every pastor, every church have to make their own decision on Christmas morning. But the reality is our priorities reveal our values. At one stage, we had 5 children under 7 years of age. But we woke them up early, we gave them their presents, we showered them, dressed them, fed them, and we had them in church on time on Christmas Day. We never missed a Christmas morning, even though when they were young, at times, you know, they were playing with their presents, then we would gather them up and we would bring them to church. And there was only one year we missed it, where there was a lot of snow outside and I crashed the car on the way to church, because there was so much ice and snow. But our attitude has always been, we're Christians, we go to church. And so I truly believe that some of us need to reevaluate our priorities, because our kids will do what we value, because our kids will see what we value by what we don't do as much as by what we do do. And so there's a reason why my kids still go to church today as teens. When they were little, we taught them Jesus comes before toys. He comes before sports, our hobbies, our friends. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way in which they shall go. When they're old, they will not turn from it. You see, your kids see what is important to you. And some believers inadvertently teach their children to reject the gospel by the bad example that they have given. And so, like I said, as much as they enjoyed their toys, we took them away from them for a few hours to go and worship the King, and then they went back to their toys again. And you know what? After a few years, it became a pattern and a habit to them, and perfectly normal. And so they recognized that worship is important. They recognized church is important. They recognized gathering to honor the Lord on Christmas Day is more important than anything else, even playing with our toys or looking at our presents or enjoying the day. And it is a lovely day. It's a lovely family day to eat turkey and relax and fellowship and enjoy it. But I'm a big believer in gathering to worship Christ on Christmas Day. So this is Pastor John from All Nations Church thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.